Hi, Sam Bailey here, Managing Director of the Radio Academy, and it falls to me to kick off this week's episode of the podcast because Laura has had some pretty crappy news this week. If you follow Laura on Twitter, you'll know that she has recently found out that she has to start treatment for breast cancer. She has quite rightly decided to step back from work to focus on that and her family and all the planning and logistics and changes that come with undergoing chemo and everything else. So for the next few episodes, at least, we're going to have some guest presenters to take care of the Radio Academy podcast. I know everyone will want to send their love and best wishes to Laura, and I know she'd want me to play this clip from the Arias last fortnight.
The sooner you get checked out, the better chances of treatment. So one in two of us will get cancer in our lifetime. So from me and Mike, check your balls. From Rach and Loz, check your tits. And from Debs,
check your poo!
Okay, on with this week's show, and we move from the big competition of this past month, the Arias, to a contest of just about equal significance that took place in Liverpool last weekend. I'm talking, of course, about Eurovision. Now, last year, Christian Hugill for this podcast spoke to host of the official Eurovision podcast, Steve Holden, about his work in Turin. So to give us the lowdown on what happened in Liverpool, we went to the hosts of the world's biggest Eurovision fan podcast, The Euro Trip, to speak to its creators and hosts. Our guest presenter for this week, one half of Magic Breakfast, it's Harriet Scott. Over to you, Harriet.
Thank you, Sam. Now, Eurovision last weekend was a big deal for many people. Three quarters of all TV viewers in the UK were watching it. But this week's podcast guests are two people for whom it was, well, a huge deal. They are Rob Lilley and James Rowe, hosts and creators of the Euro Trip. Hello, guys. Welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. How are you?
Hello, Harriet. Yeah, lovely to be here. Thank you for having us.
Hiya, Harriet. Yeah, great to be here.
Really lovely to talk to you both. I've been listening to your podcast. The enthusiasm for Eurovision is infectious. But here we are a week on. I mean, honestly, I mean, you're finding it hard to get out of bed in the morning. It must be hard, the aftermath of such excitement.
Yeah, when you are building up to something for so long, you're right. It is a bit of a come down once the event has finished. I mean, for a lot of people, Eurovision is understandably just one night in May. It's just the big Saturday night. You know, maybe you have a Eurovision party. But yeah, for us on our podcast, it goes on for months and months and months, almost the entire year. So just to give you an idea, we probably started building up to Eurovision 2023, the event that we saw in Liverpool, I would say probably September last year. So yeah, a really long time.
So here we are then. It is time for the grand final preview of Eurovision 2023 here on the Eurotrip podcast. And the reason it's time for our grand final preview episode, James, is because the grand final is here.
It's finally here. After days and weeks and months and almost a year of waiting, we've got another grand final coming our way tonight, and we've got a jam-packed episode for you.
I mean, that is extraordinary. And yes, I definitely have been guilty of the just one night Eurovision fandom. But having listened to some of your podcasts and then also just looking at how far back they go and how many there have been and the frequency of them, I'm now realizing quite the juggernaut that the pre-Eurovision thing it is, whether it's the way that other countries choose their Eurovision entries, these big famous festivals I've heard you've been talking about. I mean, this is, I know it's an understatement, but it is a massive business, isn't it?
Oh, honestly, it's absolutely huge. We started the podcast back in summer 2020. It was a bit of a project for us to keep ourselves busy over the summer and to try and entertain some Eurovision fans when there was no contest on. But we started to grow and grow and grow and try to cover as many events as possible because, you know, you mentioned some of these festivals. You know, if we mention Sweden, for example, you know, they take 6 weeks of Saturday night TV. About 90% of the population will watch it, more than actually watch Eurovision, just to find out who will then represent the country at the contest. And we managed to spin off the podcast into a bonus series just focusing on that competition because there's so much appetite for everything else that comes before Eurovision on that big grand final night that we keep coming to. But yeah, it's such a bigger beast. And I think so many more people this year, now that it's been in the UK, it's been in Liverpool, they're starting to realise that this year.
And how did this come about? What came first? Were you guys friends and then you realized you had an extreme interest in Eurovision? Or Did you meet at a Eurovision party or so? What? How did this come about?
I love how you've been really polite then and said an extreme interest in Eurovision. I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah, we kind of got to know each other. You'll be shocked to hear through Eurovision. So me and James used to work on, it was a YouTube program basically that went out before Eurovision for the last few years. This is kind of 2017, 2018, 2019, where previous participants would basically vote and decide who their favorite entry of the following year's Eurovision was, almost as a bit of a kind of pre-prediction kind of a thing to give you an idea about who might win the contest. And I used to present it and James used to produce it. But then when the contest, as James was saying a little bit early, we started in the summer of 2020. So when the contest was cancelled in 2020, we thought, well, we've both got a lot of time on our hands, as a lot of people do. I work in podcasting anyway. James, at the time, you were studying in that area as well. So we thought, why not put two brains together? We both love Eurovision. Let's try and make a thing of this. Let's do something maybe once a week. And that's what we've done ever since. So every single Wednesday, pretty much, bar a little bit of a break in the summer sometimes, but every single Wednesday since August 2020, we've been here talking about Eurovision. And thankfully, people seem to like it.
When it came home to Liverpool, I mean, you must have thought your birthdays had all come at once.
It was Christmases, it was birthdays, it was everything all rolled into one, wasn't it? Because we saw Ukraine win.
Do you
win.
Know what? That's the phrase, isn't it? Why did I say birthdays? It's Christmas. We'll just make up new phrases.
I know what you meant.
It almost felt like we'd put in the hard yards and we were finally being rewarded with everything that we saw in Liverpool, because I'm sure we'll talk about it, but it was the most incredible experience. A Eurovision on home soil, you know, we hadn't done it since 1998. That was the last time the contest had been in the UK, when it was back in Birmingham back then. But really, I mean, Eurovision 2023 and Liverpool embraced Eurovision more than I think any other host city arguably have ever done it before. So to be able to, I suppose, follow the UK's journey and the UK's relationship and the public's relationship with Eurovision since we started the podcast, really. I mean, when we started the podcast in August 2020, the UK had just come off the back of finishing last in the contest in 2019. And then we'd finished last again in the first contest that we covered in Rotterdam in 2021. And then obviously we've had everything that's come since then. We've had the UK coming so close in 2022 and us hosting the contest. So we've had such a wide spectrum of events and emotions. It's been a real roller coaster ever since we started.
So you're an unofficial podcast, but I mean, congratulations to you guys. You have such good access. You have such good contacts. You even managed to speak to the big Euro boss, Martin Osterdahl, this year.
So actually, that is the second time we've been very fortunate to have him on the podcast. So for those people listening who wonder, like, you know, what does the big boss of Eurovision do? Well, Martin Osterdahl is the guy who appears on your TV screens during the grand final just before the votes start coming in. So he's the guy that says, basically, yeah, all the votes have been counted. And he's got his catchphrase. He always says, "You're good to go." You know the guy. Well, he was mulling around the kind of the media center at Eurovision this year, where we were obviously working out of, and we thought, well, he's there, should we just ask? And there was a big breaking news story happening at the time in the Eurovision world. They were trying to change the way in which the semi-final qualifiers were told that they had qualified for the grand final. May not sound like a big thing for your listeners. I promise you, for the Eurovision fans, it was a massive thing at the time. And no one had asked Martin about this change. So basically, we kind of snuck up to his press officer, which was next to him, and said, "Is there any chance that if he's got 5 minutes, we can have a word with him?" Thankfully, the Spanish TV reporter didn't turn up on time, which meant that Martin suddenly had an extra 5 minutes to spare. Yeah, because we'd already made these relationships, we could do the interview. He knew who we were. We already had that access. We got that exclusive. We put a clip of it on social media. James, you're our kind of social media guy when it comes to social media video. That's had almost a million views, half a million views, something like that.
Yeah, it was just doing crazy numbers. And it was because it was an exclusive and it was with somebody who doesn't ordinarily do a lot of media interviews. You know, he was doing this with the Swedish TV station and the Spanish TV station, but he doesn't ordinarily do a lot of sit-down interviews like what we got. But opportunities like that, we'll never say no to.
And Martin, very quickly, I've got to ask you about a change that we were potentially expecting to see in the semi-final, which was the way in which the qualifiers were due to be announced. We were going to see a bit of a change in 2023. We're reverting back to the presentation that we've seen in previous years. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, the thinking behind that is just that every year the host broadcaster and the producer wants to try new things. We also, from my side, we want to work with creative development of the shows. I think it's really important to keep the show contemporary, to keep it relevant. And, we usually say that we want to tweak 10% every year of something. And the BBC are great producers. They've done so many great shows. They've got some great ideas for this year. They've made a lot of great improvements already. We felt when we tried this out that it was not an improvement, so the decision was not to do it.
What was the reaction from delegations to the proposed change? And then
to be honest, I never actually got to hear any, because we made the decision really quickly after that first dress rehearsal.
I mean, it's extraordinary because you've both got day jobs, and to have this level of commitment, you're like, this is my day job. But to have this level of commitment is great, and it does pay off. If you, like you say, you've made the contacts. Has it taught you much about your capabilities, really, and what you can achieve in terms of really going for it, finding opportunities, being brave?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when we started, I had just finished my first year of university. I was doing a media production degree, so focused on TV, radio and podcasting. And, you know, for me, this was just an avenue to, you know, put my skills to the test, and like for a real world experience of everything. And we never really expected it to sort of explode into what it's become. It was meant to just be a little bit of a side project, a passion project for us to have a bit of fun, talk about Eurovision and play some games along the way. But I think it was when we managed to get an interview with a guy called Lee Smithurst. Now, he was, at the time, he was working with the BBC on what we call like the delegation side. So he was one of the people who was choosing the artist for the UK every single year. And he'd never done many, or if any, really big interviews like that. And we invited him onto the podcast. And as I say, it was the first time he'd done an interview like that. And we'd got a lot of traction from that, a lot of attention from the Eurovision community. And I think that was sort of our ticket, wasn't it, Rob, to sort of say, look, we can go out and get these big interviews. We can break some big stories. And it was ever since then that we thought, do you know what? We can make something bigger of this. We've got to put a bit more time into it, which we were glad to do. We really enjoyed it. And we just ended up becoming bigger and bigger and getting even bigger guests along the way as well.
Harry, you said, you know, we're trying to do this at the same time as our day jobs. It has become a bit of an on-running joke in my office where I say, oh, I'm off to the Czech Republic to do something for Eurovision for the podcast. And they'll go, yeah, of course you are. You know, that this is when I'm asking and like begging my boss, please can I have, you know, 2 days leave so I can go to Prague and host a Eurovision pre-selection show, which was something we got to do as a result of the podcast. You know, these are things I never thought we'd get to do when we started doing this podcast 3 years ago. And the fact that we are where we are is, pretty crazy.
So I was going to ask about social media and the role that you think it's played in your success. You know, how have you used social media to its best effect?
I think being a podcast that is specifically focused on the really kind of passionate fans and the, you know, the fans that do know it's more than just the one night in May, the ones that do like to follow the contest throughout the entire year. I think we've almost initially at the start of when we were kicking off, we kind of seeked them out and we kind of put the podcast in front of them. It was a lot of, you're a passionate Eurovision fan, you might be interested in this. So we kind of tailored our social media around that. Whereas now,
and if that's not a stupid question, if this isn't a stupid question, how do you do that? You're looking for hashtags, you're looking for...
Well, in the beginning, you know, we were like trying to fish out new people who could potentially become listeners. So instead of necessarily just putting out content to do with the podcast, you know, we were trying to engage with fans on Twitter, you know, by asking questions about Eurovision to try and cause a conversation, to get people to engage with us, just so that...
Yeah.
When they see the Eurotrip on their Twitter feed, they know who we are, so that when they see a new episode released, they kind of put two and two together and realise who we are. But it's more now to do with a lot of our stuff is video content, and we do a lot of interviews where we'll put, you know, it's the same as what a lot of other radio stations or podcasts do. You know, they'll put clips that, you know, really grab the audience online. Yes. Where it's just a quick 10 second or 20 second snippet of the interview just to try and hook them in. And we're on TikTok now. I think one of the videos we put on there from Eurovision Week has got 750,000 views. And, you know, that sort of thing, just it's just brand awareness, really.
Yeah. You also had a big fan event in Liverpool. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we did. When Eurovision goes to a host city, there's always so many events to try and keep fans occupied throughout the week, because mainly it's just the shows on an evening, but throughout the day and stuff like that, there's all sorts going on. And it was a few months ago, it was probably in autumn last year, we talked on the podcast about how the Euro Club had had its venue announced. So this is like the big nightclub for fans and artists to go to after the live shows. And I think I joked at the time that there should be like a board game afternoon instead for people who don't want to go out and have a drink and have a party. And it just sort of snowballed from there. We kind of thought, do you know what? That might actually have legs. Yeah. And we kind of made it happen, Rob.
Yeah, one of our listeners got in touch. That was the best thing. But that was the best thing about it. And that's, you know, one of the best things about doing the podcast, and is one of the best things about, you know, hosting a show on the radio or hosting your own podcast, is people get in touch. And when the listeners interact with what you're doing, it almost validates what you're doing on the podcast. So yeah, one of our listeners, a guy called Jamie, who's from Liverpool, he sent us a message on Twitter and said, oh, you mentioned a board game cafe. Well, actually, you could maybe make it happen because this place exists in Liverpool. And that was the cafe that eventually, yeah, in Eurovision Week, we did hold the event. I sent them an email. I said, oh, we're thinking about doing this thing. And I remember the owner got back to me and she said, I'm not a huge Eurovision fan. Is that a problem? And we were like, no, actually, that's not a problem. Maybe that's better. It was so nice to see the listeners, because these are the people that are listening to us every week, but often we don't see them. And we know it's easy when you're listening to a podcast not to get in touch, not to interact, and just to listen, because people are busy. But people had taken the time to buy a ticket. I think, you know, it's like a fiver. They'd spent that money. They'd come to see us. And it was just, yeah, it was really sort of invigorating seeing that people wanted to do that. It was something they wanted to do.
I was going to ask you about money and answer as much of this as you want to, but is it making money? Do you make money on the podcast, or is it very much a side project that, of course, it has become enormous, but it's, you know, are you about to give up your day jobs for it? Yes.
I don't think we'll give up the day jobs just yet. we have made money. You know, we do run adverts on the podcast. We've had some sponsorships as well, and you know, from some of the other events that we've managed to secure as well. Rob mentioned before about going to Prague. We got asked to host their national selection for the Eurovision Song Contest. So that was us in the green room chatting to the artists. So. Yeah, there's definitely some avenue for some sort of revenue. But yeah, at this stage, Rob, probably I don't see us two dropping our full-time jobs to do this year.
I would say if we get to the end of a year and we've broken even, it's been a pretty solid year. I think we're normally pretty happy if that's where we're at. Hopefully, you know, who knows, in the years to come, as we keep growing, and if we keep growing at the rate we are, then maybe that will be the case. But yeah, I don't think we'll be quitting the jobs anytime soon.
So people listening who might also have passions in different areas and maybe thinking of starting up a podcast, what have you learned? What advice might you give to them?
I would say absolutely go for it. You know, we didn't think we would get to where we are when we came up with the idea of starting the podcast. We thought this was just going to be a side project, a passion project, just to sort of keep us busy. I don't think we ever thought it would last 3 years and however long it will last. But yeah, I wonder, yeah, Rob, what do you think we've learned? Because I think we've learned it can become a lot bigger than you think it'll be. It probably takes a little bit more time than you probably think it would take. And also, I think you learn a lot about, you know, your own skills, your own skill set along the way as well. Because I didn't think, you know, I would be, you know, a decent enough interviewer. I didn't think I'd be good enough at, you know, creating social media content. You know, I think I've developed personally a lot along the way.
I would say there's three things for me. The first one is probably say yes to everything, which is what we've done. And it's got us in some ridiculous places, as we said, you know, being on Czech primetime television as we were in January. I would say find your USP. You know, what are you doing that other people aren't? And I think that's one of the reasons why we've been able to grow, is because we're doing something other people aren't. And then the third thing is genuinely make sure you have very patient partners, because both mine and James's partners are very understanding, and I don't think we'd be able to do anything like what we're doing and dedicate anywhere near as much time as we do without that. So I would say those are my three tips if you can.
So if there's a road trip to Sweden, and I'm sure there will, can you bring Magic Breakfast with you, please? Or bring the Radio Academy with you, I should say.
Absolutely. We'll see you there.
Yeah, Harriet, we'll take you, we'll take Ronan, we'll take everyone. You can all come.
Let's get Ronan to perform. Let's start the campaign right now. Guys, thank you so much and congratulations on your podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Harriet.
Thanks, Harriet, Rob, and James. I love that note at the end about finding your USP. It's so important with podcasts especially. I had a quick look and there are at least 50 Eurovision podcasts listed in Apple. So to be the biggest fan show is a huge achievement. While I've got you, are you a Radio Academy member? If not, you should be. It only costs £3 a month and you get access to a back catalogue of events and talks on our website, and you'll be supporting our work to drive excellence in audio and radio. Right now, members can register for our summer socials in London and across the UK in the final week of June. A chance to have a drink, grow your network and see some great guest speakers. All the details are on our website, radioacademy.org. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.